I looked up a few quotes on fathers, and one anonymous quote said this: anyone can be a father, but it takes a real man to be a daddy. And I believe that there are a lot of fathers out there in our society that simply donated something to create a life and then did nothing after that as far as being a father. And just because you are a father does not make you a good father or a daddy. Samuel Clemens, talking about his own father, he says, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years." And it's true, my dad growing up drove me crazy. I love my dad, but there were certain things that he said and certain things that he did that I said, I will never say that to my kids. And you know what? I say those things to my kids. My dad, when I was growing up in my teenage years, didn't know anything. He was dumb. He was out of date. He was just, you know. And the older I got, the more I realized he kind of knew what he was talking about. And the older I got, the more I realized my dad was a wise man. Maybe it was me that wasn't so bright. And, you know, studies say that your brain is not fully developed until you're 24. So if you're under 24, there you go. All the ones under 24 are looking at each other. What's he talking about? I don't understand. But there are traits of a good father. We learn as men and we learn as women from our own fathers how to become a father. We learn things from our parents, good and bad, on how we should do things. When Belinda and I were first married, we had our first fight. Actually, we had one before we got married, but before you get married, you have to be on your best behavior. After you get married, the real person comes out of the cage. So we had our first fight, and I had learned from my parents and watching them that you don't fight in front of the kids. I never saw my mother and my father fight. So I never saw the conflict. I never saw the discourse. I never saw how you reconciled after a fight. And the way I saw things, when my mom and dad would begin to fight, my dad just left. So I learned, when you start to get into a fight, you just turn around and leave. She came from a family that was a little more confrontational with one another. I think they actually liked to fight. And so she was used to going toe-to-toe. So when we had our first, what I call, intense fellowship moment, she got ready to put the gloves on, and I said, I'll see you later. And I walked out. And I realized afterwards, after she told me, that's not how you fight. And we learn from our parents how to be parents. And we don't always learn good things from our parents. But we do have a Heavenly Father who is perfect. We see all throughout the Scriptures traits that He has that I believe He wants to pass down to men to be good fathers. And so we're going to go through a few of those things. And the first thing is compassion. In Psalms 103, verse 13, it says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." As a father, we should have compassion for our kids. Our kids, we should be a safe place that our kids can go to and talk to about. I've met a lot of fathers who are very antagonistic towards their kids. There's not a whole lot of compassion there. They're the kind of the fathers that I call suck it up fathers. their child falls down, gets hurt, and they go, their response is, suck it up. I apologize if some of you don't like the word suck, but it is in the dictionary. But you need to have compassion, especially fathers for daughters. Especially fathers for their daughters. Because that girl is going to grow up, and it may seem strange, but she oftentimes finds someone who's similar to her father. A father teaches a daughter respect. Respect for yourself. And I always taught my girls, you know what? Wherever you go, whatever you do, you represent the Olson name and you represent God. Everything you do, everything you say should not smear either one of those names. And I taught them that they are to be strong, young ladies. Don't be followers of the crowd. And I taught them that when they got hurt, they could come to me and they would receive compassion. And so many girls, what they want most is to be a princess to someone. They do. They want to have someone that just idolizes them, who has compassion on them, who will give them a big old fat hug when they need it. So compassion is very important. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. This is the flip side of compassion. The word in the Greek is erethezo, and it means to stimulate to anger or to provoke. A father without compassion provokes their children, says things to them that they should not say, does things to them that they should not be doing. So we are not to embitter. Now, you know, I grew up and my dad, he picked on people that he liked. And he always told me, you know, I said, Dad, just leave me alone. Well, you know, I pick on you because I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't bother picking on you. But there's a difference between having fun, poking fun, and provoking to anger. There is a big difference. A father that does not have compassion for his children. So compassion is one of the traits that is very important that we learn from God on how to be a good father. The second one is discipline. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Discipline is a very important part of a good father. We have a generation, actually we have a couple of generations, of young people who have raised themselves. And you know what? Discipline is something that needs to happen on a daily basis. It needs to be consistent. When I worked as a child care counselor at a developmental facility down in California, and we took in severely emotionally disturbed teenagers. We took in the worst of the worst. We took in the kids that the school systems could not handle. And we put them all into a big group. And one of the things that we wanted to make sure that we gave them on a daily basis was consistency. If they did this, this was the consequence. If they chose to do this, these are the consequences. Unfortunately, many parents, they're both working. By the time they get home, they're both exhausted, and they let the little buggers do whatever they want. Go to Walmart. It is a perfect place to see kids that are not disciplined. And the parents look exhausted. And I'm telling you now, if you're a young person, you're going to be a parent, you're hoping to be a parent someday, start early. There's nothing more frustrating than a person who comes to me and their child is 15, 16, 17, and they've never disciplined them, and all of a sudden they're running wild and they can't figure out why, and they come and they go, well, how do I fix this? Well, the best way to do that is to start when they come out the chute. Because now it's real difficult. So discipline is important. Hebrews 12:7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? It's a very important yet lacking in our culture today is discipline. We're raising a generation of people who have no respect for their parents, therefore they have no respect for authority. And the schools are representing that. They're showing that in the classrooms. You talk to teachers, and the behavior that is in the schools now, as opposed to when I was in school, it's deplorable. Kids say whatever they want to teachers. Kids lash out and hit teachers. And their hands are tied. And then the parents come in and go, well, what are you going to do to fix my kid? That's not their job. It's your job as a father. It is your job as a mother. It's your job. You may have to take it up as an aunt or an uncle. But discipline is very, very important. The next trait, you need to be a teacher. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We learn a lot of things from our fathers. And whether fathers realize it or not, even bad fathers, they're teachers. They're teaching their sons how to be bad fathers. They're teaching their daughters that they shouldn't marry someone like dad. Unfortunately, it's amazing. An abusive father to a daughter, that daughter usually gets into an abusive relationship with a man. She's so used to that she kind of is drawn to that behavior. So even bad fathers teach bad things to their kids. We are to train up our children in the instruction of the Lord. We are to train up our kids knowing that they are children of God. And there's nothing that drives me more crazy than a father telling their kids, do what I say, not what I do. That drives me nuts. And if you say that to your kids, God help you. Jesus modeled what it was like to be a father because he had that relationship with his father. He passed that on to his disciples. We are to pass on biblical, godly training to our kids. We are to raise them up. Deuteronomy 6 through 9 says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. We are to train our kids up daily. Every time we have an opportunity. When my girls were growing up, every opportunity that I saw in everyday life, I brought it up to my girls. I was in a store one time, and there was a couple of young children who were just acting like crazy little monkeys. And they were all over the place, screaming and yelling, I want this, I want that. And I pulled my girls aside, and I says, do you see that behavior? Yeah. I said, what do you think I should do if you guys did that? Oh, we deserve a spanking, Dad. But I pulled them aside and I taught them on a daily basis. Whenever we went to the store, whenever we went to the movies, whenever we did anything, whenever we watched a television show, you know, people say, well, I only watch Christian stuff. Well, okay, that's fine. But it's kind of hard to do these days. There's so much garbage out there. But you know what? With all that garbage, there are tons of opportunities to teach your kids what is right and what is godly. We're to instruct them daily. The minute we get up to the time we go to bed, we are to instruct them, teach them what it means to be a part of our family and a part of the family of God. Amen? Amen. Proverbs, Psalm 44, verse 1. Let's go Proverbs 23, 24. I'm just seeing if Kim can keep up with me. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. There's something to being a father and teaching your kids godly things. But it is wisdom on how you apply the instruction. I know a lot of people that know the scriptures back and forth, but they don't do what it says. They have the instruction, but they're not applying it to their lives. The application of the information is wisdom. I have people come to me and say, you know, I'm really struggling with this and that and this and that. And all of a sudden I find out they're doing some things that are not godly. And it's like, well, you realize that God won't bless you in this because it's a sin. Well, I don't care about it. I just want God to bless me in my sin, I guess. Good luck with that. So you know the information? Yeah. So you've heard me speak on this? Yes. Yet you're still choosing not to obey? Yeah. Well, that's not wisdom. Wisdom is the application of what you know in a godly way. There's a lot of people out there with head knowledge, but ain't too wise. There's a lot of people out there that don't have common sense. It's scary. Some of the brightest people I've ever met had no common sense whatsoever. Like, oh man. So we need wisdom to go with the instruction. Psalm 44:1 in the New King James Version. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. We need to instruct our kids in what we've seen and what we have personally experienced in our relationship with God. They should know the stories that you have about when God touched you, when God came through, when God healed you, we didn't have any money and we just trusted in God and all of a sudden He took care of us. Those stories you need to pass on to your kids. Why? Because they encourage them in their own relationship with God. And I think it's okay to share a little bit, you know, you need to be wise in it, about where you came from. My girls know that Dad wasn't always the best guy. That he was a wild little Catholic boy. And if you've ever encountered a wild little Catholic boy, I was him. And they knew where I came from. But why is that important? Because people look at me now in this suit and they go, wow, he's got it all together. I'll bet you when he came out of the chute, he had it all together. He probably was wearing a suit when he came out the chute. And he's never had any struggles. He's never been tempted by anything. I'll never live up to that. No, my girls know a little bit about the old gym. There are certain things that I will not share with my daughters because, frankly, they don't need to know that much detail. But you know what? You need to show that you've been there. When I talk to my daughters as they were growing up about boys, guess what? I knew a lot about being a boy. Oh, Dad, that is not. Yeah, it is. I'm going to share a little quick story. My daughters aren't here. You can record it because I'm not going to name drop or anything. So we had this rule in my house that girls were not allowed to date officially until they were 16 years old. And I really didn't want them doing one-on-one dates. They could go out with the groups of friends and stuff, but I really didn't want the one-on-one thing. So I offered, we offered the parents, me and my wife, we offered them $1,000 if they waited to date one-on-one after they graduated from high school. If they didn't do the one-on-one dating thing, $1,000 right there in front of the graduation cake. Offered it to both girls. In fact, Grandma and Grandpa doubled down, $2,000. Both my girls said, no, I want a date. Wow. Remember the part about your brain not being quite developed yet? So she comes home, and she wasn't 16. She was actually in middle school. And I haven't said her name yet, right? No. Okay, good. She comes home, and she comes up to me, and she goes, Dad, there's this boy at school, and he wants us to go steady. And I says, well, what's the rules? And she says, well, I told him the rules. And I says, well, so then what did he say? And he goes, well, we don't have to tell your mom and dad. We can just go steady at school. And I won't call you at home and this and that. And my daughter goes, you don't understand. My dad will find out, and he'll kill you first, and then he'll kill me. And she came home, and she told me that story. And I said, here's the deal. She came home, and she told me the story, and I says, okay, honey, let me give you a little insight to a little bugger's mind. I bet that within 1 week, he will tell you that he loves you. And she goes, oh, ew. No, he won't. She comes home the next day, opens the front door, and says, Dad, I hate it when you're right. And I says, wow, that didn't take long. She goes, nope, first period. Met me at my locker, told me he loved me. And I says, well, what did you say? And she says, I cannot date until I am 16. And I'm not going to do it. And so she told me that, and I says, ha, guess what? I'll bet you that he tells some other girl he loves her within a week. She's like, no way. Next day, opens the door. Dad, I hate it when you're right. He did. He told the girl right next to her locker that he loved her. And she listened to him, and I says, honey, I know that guy. I know that little bugger. I know how his mind works. And I pass those things on to my daughter so that when they do get older, they understand there's a lot of scumbags out there who want one thing and one thing only. Sift through the scumbags. Don't even give them a time of day. And you know what else helped? As a father, I required that whoever wanted to date my daughter had to come and talk to me first. I eliminated so many scumbags because they wouldn't come and talk to me. And it's like, you know what? If you're not willing to do this simple thing for my daughter, you're not worthy of my daughter. So I eliminated a lot of little buggers just by being what I thought was being a good father. Now, there's a lot more stories. We don't have enough time, but you know what? We need to teach our children. We need to, in Proverbs 22, it says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Start early. Start early with your kids. The last trait needs to be a leader. You need to lead as a father. Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We had rules and regulations in our household according to godly principles. And I said, as long as you are under my roof, I am responsible for you. God has placed you under my care as a father. And if you don't like that, then you can go find another place to live. But as for me, these are the rules. And why am I making these rules? Because I just want to be a mean dad. No. Nothing good ever happens after midnight. Nothing. Nothing. As little buggers, nothing good happens after midnight. You know how I know that? Because I spent a lot of my teenage years living after midnight. So we had rules, we had regulations, and we had them in place as protection. And my daughters have come to me, one in particular that will remain unnamed, and we didn't let her go to a lot of certain functions because we always asked who was going to be there. Which kids are going to be there? And I'll tell you what, you learn very quickly which kids you don't want your kids hanging around. You need to be diligent in finding out who they are, where they are, who is there. Because there are certain kids that I just said, no, you're not going to be spending any time over there. We made phone calls. We would not allow our girls to do a sleepover with anyone else unless we met the parents first. Never. Ever, ever, ever. And I always wanted to know, is there an uncle like living in the basement somewhere? Yeah, well, no, you're not going then. We wanted to know where our kids were going. And you know what? It frustrated them sometimes. But I had one of them come back and say, you know, I'm glad that you didn't let me go. Because she wanted to go to a party. And I asked, well, are the parents home? Well, they're supposed to be. Yeah, right. I said, who's going to be there? Oh, blah, blah. She listed them off, and I went, not going to happen. Well, guess what? The party got busted because some parents got wind that they had a keg up there, and they all got busted. Got suspended from sports, suspended from cheerleading, and my daughter was not there. She wanted to be, but I thought, you know what? No. And she came back and said, thank you. There's nothing better than hearing your kids say thank you. Or what's even better, you were right. Love it. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. Last verse. As a leader, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. There's nothing better than your kids calling you blessed. There's nothing better than leaving a good legacy. Leaving a legacy of compassion as being a good father, a good leader, you know, a good teacher. And it doesn't mean that you're perfect. One of the things that my girls have heard me say a lot is I'm sorry. Because you know why? Because I screwed up. A lot of times I would react. I didn't have all of the information. And I reacted, and then Belinda would pull me aside and say, you know what, you don't have all the information. And she would tell me, and then I would have to go back and apologize. And then I'd get mad at Belinda for not giving me the information prior. And then I'd have to apologize to her. But there's nothing better than your kids hearing you say you're sorry when you screw up. It lets them know that you're human, that you don't demand perfection out of them. And they surely can't demand it out of you. So if there's grace and there's mercy and you have a father that can say, I'm sorry, you've taught them a huge lesson. So there are a lot of things that we can learn from our Heavenly Father. And what really stinks is we are created in His image. And I know there's a lot of bad fathers out there. In fact, it's one of the biggest stumbling blocks for people who want to give their hearts to the Lord, but they've had such a bad experience with their own father that they can't trust their Heavenly Father. And that's unfortunate that our own fathers drive us away from our Creator. He's perfect. He is absolutely perfect. Your earthly father is not. And we have a Father that we can go to, who knows everything about us, who says, if you need wisdom, just ask. You need grace, just ask. You need mercy, just ask. Need help, need strength, just ask. He wants nothing more than to be our dad. And as fathers, single moms, we need to show that to our kids. And if you're here at New Hope Christian Center and you don't have kids, or your kids are grown up or whatever, we've got some kids up there who could probably use a good dad, who's never known what it's like to have a good father. We need godly aunts and uncles to help raise those kids. Because when they leave here, I guarantee you they're not getting anything spiritual, compassion, teaching. They're learning the wrong things from the wrong people. And we have a job as a family to help raise those kids up. The Brake kids, I've known them all since they came out of the chute. And I'm not afraid to say something to them. I talked to Adrian this morning. He says, you get your dad something for Father's Day? No, I've been pretty busy. Well, then you need to go home and get out your crayons and make him a card. And I have no problem doing that. You know why? Because he's one of my kids. So we have a responsibility, not just with our own kids, but with other kids. Little Hanky, not so little anymore. Josh, Clarabelle, they're all my kids. I've known them, not since they came out the chute, but pretty close. Why? Because we're family. So remember that. You're not just raising your own kids, you're helping raise others. And there are things in the scriptures that can help us to be better parents. Amen? Amen. Please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. That you are a God of compassion. You are a God that teaches. You discipline us because you love us. Help us, Lord, to take these characteristics of your personality and apply them to our lives. Apply them to our families. Give us strength, Lord, to be consistent. Give us compassion so that we may offer grace and mercy. Help us to discipline even when we're tired, so that we may raise up children who follow you. We thank you for this day, and we ask that your blessing be upon all fathers. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great Father's Day.